This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program and welcoming you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're just honored to be here with you. We thank God that you're listening in today, and there's a reason why we're all listening in, including ourselves as well, that God's got something to say to all of us, and so we welcome you to our program. Don and I co-pastor church here in Stewart. We have for 23 plus years, and God gave us a name way back out of Revelation 19:10. If you've been on our program, you've heard us talk about it. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. He gave us that name years ago. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So as we said, we're honored to be here with you on another Saturday, and we come before you with humble hearts and wanting the body of Christ to be raised to a new standard, to understand things that God has in His Word that's been hid from them, not because it's not in the Bible, because men have hidden a lot of things with their traditions and all the stuff that we have down through time. So as we go through this, you'll understand we'll talk about some things with the Hebrewism is what we probably ought to use instead of saying the Jewish things, but God gave all His thoughts for His people.
To Israel.
To Israel, and they were Jewish. And so we use a lot of the Hebrewism and all that, and we're going to see through all this as we talk about this today. And so we're just honored to be here with you, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we don't talk a lot about money on this program, but we'd like to ask you, if you are led, as we listen to the program, to give something to this ministry, we'd be honored to receive that, to help the ministry to do the things that God would have us to do. And if you want a gift, we'd be glad to give you a tape or CD from previous weeks or what we're going to talk about today. All we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413-413. That's in Stewart, Florida. And our zip here is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So as I said, we're honored to be here with you. Have ears to hear what the Lord might say to you today, or for your own personal life, or maybe somebody in your family. So glory be to God. We love being here with you every Saturday.
Amen.
And we've been on here 19 plus years, and we're going to continue as long as God's got us able to continue to do it. We'll continue to lift up the Word of God and teach some things to the people that will listen. And a lot of you listen week after week after week, and we've never heard from one of you. Give us a phone call.
We've heard from a lot of people.
But a lot of people who listen, we haven't. But just give us a phone call and tell us how much you appreciate the program and all that, and that you've been blessed with it. And so the more truth we find about our Master, Yeshua, we fall in love with Him even more. So that's what's wonderful about hearing things that maybe we've never heard before. And I'm going to ask you to share that, what this man said on a program you were listening to the other day about why Jesus turned the money tables over in the temple that time.
Wow.
And if we understand the Hebrew behind it, it'll be a whole different perspective than what we've heard from the church for so many years. And there's a lot of things, traditions that we've heard for the church for years and years. And if we study the Hebrewism and the things that God gave the Jewish people, we find out a lot of it's not true. It's what man thought instead of what God had to say. So we're honored, as I said, to be here with you. And so we want to keep you in prayer. And we pray before we came on the program.
going to lift up Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. We love them so much. And so their building's going up. Boy, I tell you, we got pictures of it. It's amazing what's going on. So if you would be led to give something to them for that building, because they need funds to finish it, just put it on your check and mark it on the check for the Temple of God. The Temple of God, I'll say it again, on Andros Island. And we'll make sure they get the money, okay? And they'll be blessed. If you want to put some money in some good ground, that's a place to put some good money. It's in the ground, and I'll tell you, if you put it in that ground, I should say, you're going to be blessed by it. And so it's going to come back. As the Bible says, cast your bread upon the water, and many days it's going to come back. It might be tomorrow if you give. It could be a month from now, but whatever. So just ask the Lord what He have you to do for them or this program here, raising the standard. And we know that God will bless you in whatever you do. And so we're here for this whole hour on Saturday, and it's dedicated to all the listeners up and down the Treasure Coast on the internet, different parts of the world that listen to it on the internet. And so we're just honored to be here with you. So Pastor Don is going to tell you a couple of things about our meetings that we have here and what we're going to do today on Saturday and all. And so just have ears to hear what she's got to say, and then we're going to do a little teaching here with you this afternoon. Amen, Pastor Don?
Amen. You'll have to find that where that's at in the scriptures, because I wasn't planning on sharing that. But I will share that in a little bit about the money changers. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Because we need to know about our roots, don't we? We need to know about the traditions and the things that were going on. And you talk about that, Pastor Gene.
Culture,
reading.
All, yeah.
We need to know what the culture, we need to know
mannerisms,
the mannerisms, the times and the seasons, and we need to know the people that are involved.
That's right.
Because, you know, people change things.
Sure do.
They change what God has and what God has said. And that's exactly why the children of Israel were, they missed many blessings, because they changed, they didn't do what God told them to do.
That's right.
They went another way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Solomon, look at Solomon and all his wisdom that he had and all that he knew and all that was already prepared for him to do, because his father David had everything that was needed to build that temple for God. But, you know, he, in many ways, he went his own way and did what he wanted to do before he did what God wanted him to do. And so, you know, he sinned a lot. And so he's a good example of somebody we shouldn't follow.
That's right.
Because he did a lot of idol worshiping, and he had a lot of wives. And those wives carried him away and caused him to sin. And, you know, that's one of the first things that that God had told, Moses had told the people, you know, not to intermarry, not to mingle with them, not because of the skin color, so don't get me wrong there, but because they were idol worshipers. And so anyone who doesn't worship the one true God is an idol worshiper. He had a reason for them to stay in their own tribes. God has a plan, and God's plan is always better than what man thinks that they can change. But I want to mention, too, here, before we get started, I want to give the telephone number that we are in Stuart, Florida, and that we do have services or meetings every week and every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we do honor the Sabbath, which starts on Friday evening at sundown.
Thank you, Lord.
We come together at Friday, and so we have our Shabbat service and spend time seeking God's presence, you know, it's communion together. Some teaching and worshiping God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what it says in Revelation 19:10.
Hallelujah.
Not just there, but you know, we got to worship God. It says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the spirit of prophecy." And we're also told in Corinthians to worship God in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
So every Friday night, and then we come together on Saturday in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have a dance team. They practice on Saturday in the afternoon, and then Saturday afternoon at 4:00, we come together, and we will be doing that when we do it most Saturdays in the month. The month of September, we'll be doing it. The first two Saturdays, we'll be coming together, and then we'll take off the 17th, and then we'll come back together the following Saturday. So then that will be this coming Saturday, Pastor Gene. We're going to show a video, and you might tell what it is in a minute.
Okay.
So we'll show a video at 4:00, and then after that, we will have a dinner, and then we close out the Sabbath with the Haddalah, a little closing, and then we pray, and then, you know, then we come together again on the first day of the week, the first day of the week is not the Sabbath. You know, we could come together Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every single day. You know, they did that from house to house, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
In the first century. And they broke bread and had communion together and ate together and shared together. They did that. And we pray on Thursday. So if anybody wants to come and pray with us on Thursday, we pray at the Alliance Church every Thursday at 12 o'clock noon. So if anyone would like to do that as well, so to, if you want to get involved with the prayer meeting, that's here in Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
So those 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then also on Thursday. So I'm going to give the telephone number, and we're actually in the Monterey Plaza is where we meet here in Stewart, Florida, right on Canner Highway. So if you're coming 95, just get off at Canner Highway and just go towards the, go east. I guess it would be east towards the beach.
Yep.
And you were right there, not too far, about 10 minutes from 95. So the phone number here in Stewart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And if you would like to have a calendar for this month, September, the month of September,
mm-hmm.
give us a call. Send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. We'd be glad to send you a calendar, which has the Jewish days on it, the months.
In our calendar.
Right, and whatever holidays might be there, and also some information about the Hebrew alphabet.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have a calendar superimposed. It shows both the solar calendar and also the lunar calendar. But
that's
God's
right.
Word is on the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar.
So we need to be on God's calendar.
That's right, His timing.
Because God's calendar is going to direct us in when the feasts of the Lord are.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to know when Yeshua is going to come back, or when something's going to happen according to the Bible, according to how the feasts are set up in the Old Testament.
That's right.
But they're also in the New Testament because, you know, Yeshua, He's also honored every single feast, and He has already fulfilled the first four feasts, which happened what we would call the spring, in the springtime.
The early rain, yeah.
The early rain. He's going to fulfill the latter three.
That's right.
And, you know, of course, we could also say that when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, that we could say keeping the Sabbath.
That's right.
Is part of it. And the Sabbath, and you know, that Sabbath is going to has to do with when we have During the
millennial kingdom, we're going to honor that forever. Yeah,
we're going to honor the Sabbath forever.
That's right.
And so, you know, and he told Moses, he didn't say, now I'm going to tell you about a Sabbath. He said no. He said remember. He's
the
just
Sabbath.
Reminding him, remember the Sabbath.
That's right.
Well, when did God start the Sabbath? He started the Sabbath with Adam and Eve in the
That's
garden.
Right. Genesis 1.
He gave them that rest.
That's right.
And so Sabbath was started right from the very beginning. And, you know, Sunday's not, people say, well, Sunday's my Sabbath. Well, Sabbath does not mean, what does Sabbath mean? Sabbath means seven.
That's right.
So you're not going to change the numbers of the days, are you?
No.
Sabbath means seven, and it means the Sabbath rest. So when we say at the end of this program, Pastor Gene says, what do you say, Pastor Don? I say Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom, yeah.
So what does that mean? That means Sabbath peace. God wants to give us a Sabbath peace and a Sabbath rest. And not only for the millennial, not only for the kingdom time, but, you know, each week we should, if we have that Sabbath rest, you know, since we started doing Friday night and Saturday, we have noticed a greater Sabbath rest and a greater rest in the Lord. And, you know, a lot of people
and a
now...
greater anointing, too.
Greater anointing. Because we're being obedient.
That's right.
You know, we're being obedient, not because we have to, but because it's in our heart to do it.
And we love God.
Until something becomes part of you, until it becomes part of your heart to do it, then, you know, things seem mandatory or they seem like rules and regulations. But no, God puts it in your heart to do it. And, you know, that there's such a blessing from it.
Sure is.
And so there's such a blessing, and there is a rest that the Lord gives us that is supernatural. It's not something we can say, okay, I'm going to go to bed and rest. No, it's a different kind of a rest. It's the rest of the Lord. The Lord gives us His rest. and his refreshing, and to honor him, to spend time with him, to spend time with other believers, to have that, to be obedient, to do that. And so he told Moses, remember the Sabbath and keep it
holy,
because it's the Lord. It's Yod Heh Vav Heh Sabbath. And by the way, if the gentleman who wrote us last week or so, wrote Pastor Gene, wrote him a very nice letter. And what was his name? Do you remember his name, Pastor Gene?
We got
your letter here. It's right there. Is that it?
Yeah, he's a man in jail.
And yes, in jail. And you asked about you put four Hebrew letters in your letter.
Asking what that meant.
Well, if you're listening to us today, I'm going to tell you right now, the moment I saw it, and you said it all through your letter. You said Yod Heh Vav Heh, and you've been listening to some Hebrew teaching, and
you've been
studying some things in jail, and you're not, and you said you're innocent. So we pray that God will release you.
That's right.
But while He has you, while you are there, that you will grow in leaps and bounds in the Lord. I think about the things that Jim Baker says when I listen to him about how God showed him so many more things when he was incarcerated. You know, but he's free now, and look what he's doing for the Lord. So, you know, God always gives us a new thing, a new day, a new chance. So those four letters that you put down,
right. That
reading from right to left, Yod Heh Vav Heh.
It's sketched a little difficult, but that's what
and,
it shows.
The first one is a Yod. It's the number 10
right. In
the Hebrew letters. Okay, and the second one is
a Hey
is a number 5.
Uh-huh.
And then the third letter you had was a Vav. Kind of looks like it's just a straight line down. That's a number 6. That's a number for man. And the last one is another hay, which is another 5. Now, the hays all that represent window. It also represents the word behold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the yod, which is the first one, starting from the right, going to the left, that's the yod. That's the smallest Hebrew letter. And that letter stands for the hand and the arm of God.
Interesting.
Amen. And the vav, which is the number 6, is the number 6 is for man. And so that letter also stands for a nail or a peg.
Mm-hmm.
So now listen to the revelation. If the Jewish people would see this and understand it, what that says, Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is the word Lord. When you see it in your King James Bible and you see it, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And of course, the Jewish people leave out the vowel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to
mispronounce the name of God.
And so people don't say the name of God. They'll say Yod Heh Vav Heh, or you'll see it written down like in those letters that you put on there. And so those were the Hebrew letters for Yod Heh Vav Heh.
Right.
Amen. And so what actually says, if as you're looking at it, and we have this above the cross that's in our on the wall in our church.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they had a placard above Jesus' cross?
With his crimes,
basically
supposedly.
Basically, his crimes and saying that he is Lord. You know, well, they didn't like that. The Jewish people wanted him to take that down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says, now this is the interpretation, because the Hebrew letters are, it's the only letter that would have three dimensions. One is a picture, which what it was years ago,
mm-hmm.
before they had a letter. And then another, the next thing would be, it's a letter to make words.
And a number.
And then the last would be a number. Mm-hmm. So it's like three-dimensional.
Sure is.
So when you get that something that's three-dimensional, you see beyond just the flat surface of something. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to see into the deeper realms of the Lord.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
So we're not going to see into those deeper realms unless we understand some of the Hebrew.
That's right.
Unless we understand the Feasts of the Lord, which is in Pastor Gene's book, which is only $25. All the Feasts of the Lord, all the way to through the book of Revelation. All these things that talks about in the Bible. Also charts. It's awesome. So here this is with the interpretation. So remember I said that the hay is like the breath of God. It's like a window. It can
mm-hmm.
be a window. It can be God's breath. Like, in other words, if you were to say, wow. Okay, Pastor Gene saw me. The first time he saw me, he said, wow. And he said the Lord told him that's going to be his wife. So he must have liked what he saw, because he said, wow. Well, when you see the word, the hay, it's almost like saying, wow. The word is behold.
Behold. Huh?
Behold. So this is the interpretation. Behold the hand, behold the nail.
Nail.
So God is saying, behold my hand and behold the nail. God put forth his hand that a nail would be put into his hand.
That's right.
To cleanse us, that Yeshua would take all the sin that people would have, and he would take it all upon himself. He took the sin of the world, the sin of everyone,
on himself,
all the way back from Adam to Eve to up to till now, and ongoing as till the last person that's supposed to get saved gets saved. So here you have, you see this, and the Jewish people see this, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. They know what those letters mean. They know what they represent. So just think about it. The hand is stretched out and the arm, and God is saying, behold the hand. Then he's saying, behold the nail. Behold the man who took the nail in his hand. The man who became, who God, my his only begotten son, took that nail. So behold the hand. Behold the nail. So it's a picture of salvation right
there.
That's
right, it is. That's right.
Yod Hey Vav Hey.
And this gentleman that wrote his name, I should remember his name is Jesus. Which in English is Jesus, you know.
So we pray for you, Jesus.
And, yes.
Thank you for the lovely letter. And we'll
keep studying.
We'll certainly get that book to you when we hear from your daughter.
Or it's a sister, I think.
His sister, yeah. Whoever's going to contact us.
Yeah.
So thank you for the letter, and get more people in the jail to listen to this program.
Amen.
Maybe, and God will use you while you're there. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Be lifted up. Be encouraged. You know, because who knows who you could be ministering to and teaching while you're right there in jail.
That's right.
You can start a Bible study. You can open up the Word of God. You know, you don't have to be a pastor to read the Word of God. Read the Word of God and know that the Holy Ghost is going to lead you and guide you into all truth. So that's pretty awesome. I think that was a really nice letter we got from him, and we're praying for you.
That's right.
Amen.
So, you know, the Hebrewism shows us so much, and there's a term in Hebrew called a sod.
A sod.
It's spelled S-O-D. It means a mystery deep down under the Scriptures. So if we can look at the Hebrew letters and find out what they represent, even how it was in the beginning, they were all pictogram in the beginning.
Pictures, that's
and
right.
And there was numbers assigned, like Yod Hey Vav Hey, his name's, the number is 26, that's God's number. And so
right.
We can look at all these things and put it together. The vision, I mean, it just opens up. Even Genesis 1 comes alive, the
that's
very
right.
first verse of the Bible.
And you said you add those numbers together, you have 26.
26.
Well, if you just take the letter Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, means one, and it means an ox. Well, God, and it stands for God. And he's strong. He's strong. And his right arm is strong.
That's right.
And it took his son to be able to, it took him to be able to, you know, the power to be able to give that, his only begotten son. But you got 26 there because in that first letter in the Aleph, you have to make up that letter. You know, it always takes parts of other letters. So you have two yods, one yod is up and one yod is down. I'm thinking about God's hand is up and we're reaching up and joining him. And what is the line be in the middle? It's a bent over or bowed over vav. Mm-hmm. So when God, you know, when man decides to reach out to God, God's hand is always there. So that letter also is a number 26. You have two yods, that's 10, 20, and then you have the six counting for the vav in the middle. And, you know, the next letter is bet. That letter means house. And who's in your house? Have you asked Jesus in your house? If you've asked Jesus in your house, you have the Aleph and God.
Yeah.
You have the Aleph and the bet in your house. Because what? They're one. Jesus said, him and the Father were one, right?
That's right.
So that's the Aleph. Jesus is the bait. He's the house. So who's in our house? We need, if we have Jesus in our house, we have the Father in our house. That's what Jesus said. He said that in the Scripture. See, him and his Father were one. And we're one. We're to be one in him, one in Yeshua. There's so much in the Hebrew alphabet. It's just absolutely awesome. Even in the very first, first verse in Genesis 1:1, we have the Aleph and the Tav,
right.
A little
beginning
word,
and the end, yeah.
Which shows the Father and the Son in the very beginning and the end. And what is the Tav? That last letter is represented by a cross.
Years ago.
It always has been.
A cross, yeah.
Thousands of years ago, it's always been a cross. Why haven't the Jewish people seen that? Not because they can't read, they don't know the Hebrew letters. It's because God has blinded them for a period of time. that they wouldn't see the truth. The
spiritual discernment was blinded,
yeah. But things are happening now. More and more Jewish people, Israel, more and more of Israel is coming to Messiah, coming to know that Yeshua is the Messiah and trusting in him.
So we think about it. The Hebrew has 22 basic letters. They all have a number assigned to them. What's that called? It's called gematria. And we see it in the Greek New Testament. There's 22 letters in the Greek. They assign a number to that as well. It's amazing what we have. And this might give you a clue to do some study over in Revelation chapter 13 about the false Messiah's number is going to be 666. There's something really key that people's missing in that. And we're not going to talk about that today, but we might do it some other time because...
That's 3 sixes, yeah, too, so you're talking about the power of the number.
And those three letters that they use there to make up 666 cannot make up a word. So there's been a gematria, a number added to that for a reason. And we are not going to get into that today.
Amen.
But it shows
Praise
you what's
God.
Going on. And so it's important that we look at these things and understand what God's wanting us to know. And so before...
So there's secrets in the Hebrew
yeah, that's
letters.
That's what it is.
And
it's
the
a secret.
There's secrets. There's hidden things. And
Amen.
You know,
mysteries.
Mysteries. And didn't Jesus talk about the mysteries? He wants to reveal those mysteries
Absolutely.
To us. And so we're not going to get the mysteries just exactly just from reading in the English because, you know, Hebrew is the only, Pastor Dean, the only letter. Now, the Greek does have a number for a letter.
Right.
But it's the only one that has three dimensions.
That's right.
It's the only letter. The Hebrew is the only alphabet that has three different dimensions.
That's
and
right.
What is it doing? It's telling us three different things. It's telling us, but giving us a bigger, broader stroke.
And
to
telling
be able
us a story.
See. Tell us a story.
That's right. So before Donna shares about this thing about the money changers, the video we're going to show today at 4 o'clock is called The Now Prophecies by Bill Salas. He's going to talk about the disaster in Iran, destruction of Damascus, decline of America, and the final Arab-Israeli war, all revealed in the Word of God. We're going to show that at 4 o'clock. So you're welcome to come. So Pastor Donna, share with them.
Did you find the words
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, it's in Matthew.
Matthew.
In fact, I'll read it. It's in Matthew chapter 21. Let me just read this, and Donna's going to share it with you. In Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 12, it says this, "And Yeshua, or Jesus, went into the temple of God and cast out all them who sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them who sold doves." This is an interesting, this was probably in the court of the Gentiles where this all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned everything upside down. Amen. And then verse 13 says, "And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Those are
Hebrew. Right, I don't have all the literature right in front of me, but just by my memory, I'll just share that before you go and share something else. There was this gentleman that he spent time in Israel, and he spent time with rabbis. Mm-hmm. You know, he was friends with a lot of rabbis. And he would just go and he'd like to sit with them and ask questions about, you know, their customs and about different things. And you know the Jewish people talk about Yeshua. They talk about because they know he was a good man, a prophet, and the things that he did. Now they don't all know him as Lord, but many of them are seeking. And you know, you never know how many of them really may at the end come to that place and say, you know, you really are Lord. You know, if they understand Isaiah 51 and they realize that. Well, anyways, he was going to spend time sitting with these men just talking about scriptures. And so he had a question. He said, he asked them about the money changers and why Jesus turned over these tables. Well, we've always heard a different teaching on it, but this is what the rabbi said. They said in that day, way back when David was I don't remember what he called the coin, but way back when
it's called
David,
a shekel,
way back when David was king, they had this shekel, and on this coin on one side was a menorah. Now I don't know what was on the other side. I'd have to go and study it again, but during the time when Herod became king,
and Jesus was here,
he changed it. He took the menorah off and he put on the face of
Baal.
And so they said that was why Jesus turned over the tables and had that, did that because they were bringing Baal worship
into the temple
of God.
That's right.
So I was thinking, I'm relating this to our dollar bill.
That's right. It's on our dollar
bill. Well, everybody has a dollar bill somewhere in their pocket, in their purse, you know, and so we are, this is our form of money, you know, the dollar bill. They'll probably never get rid of the dollar bill because of what is on the dollar bill. The dollar bill depicts another form of worship.
It has a pyramid on the back with the top not completed and an all-seeing eye on the top, which is supposed to represent Isis. It was a god that came from Egypt and all that.
And there's a certain number of stairways
up
to that pyramid.
That's right,
steps. And it's not completed. It has to do with the one world order,
which is
going to be worldwide, not just the United States. But here we've had this. Plus, there's other things on that dollar bill we don't have time to talk about right now. But
yeah,
on that dollar bill,
that's for sure.
Right. And it has to do with the United Nations and what the overall plan is.
That's right.
To bring in this one world government and to bring in the euro that too as well, that bill that they have made too now, which has a beast with a woman riding on it.
Yeah.
So here we have in our pockets, we're carrying around something that's demonic.
It's paganism.
It's paganism.
That's right.
Of course, we know. You know, that's the form, that's what we're living with right now. But, you know, I wonder what kind of, I don't know. I was just thinking, I wonder what kind of influence or power, you know, we know there's no power in that piece of paper.
That's right, but what it represents
and what people see when they look at it. And it takes them back to cultic worship. It takes them back to things that that the elite people have set up for our government.
And it's not an innocent thing.
No, for our government, for even way back in the beginning of this in the United States of America, when these things were set up and put in place. And that's how the elite have done this. You know, those wealthy people, the Rockefellers, and all those wealthy people,
the Illuminati,
that have made the plans, had the money, control the banks. You know, we're living in a really wicked times, and this is not something new. This has been going on forever. But you know what? We got to seek the Lord.
That's right. So as we study the Hebrew and find out a lot of things, you know. Even like in the New Testament, there's a lot of things that we don't understand because we don't understand the mannerisms, the customs, the things that the Jewish people did in Yeshua's day. And when we find out what they did and why they did it, it's very important to see that. Like we talk about Rosh Hashanah, trumpets, and the Day of Atonement. We only have one chapter in the entire Bible. The only appointed time has a whole chapter, and that's in Leviticus 16 about the Day of Atonement. The rest of those appointed times, except for Passover, got a very small amount written about it. But if you go to some of the Jewish writings, like the Mishnah and all that, you can find out what they did during those appointed times that God put in place for Israel to honor. And it's like for tabernacles, I mean, we're not going to talk about that, but there's a couple things that happen at tabernacles that we don't have in the Bible, but we have clues by the way it's written. And we can find out some things that it just comes alive. And so like Rosh Hashanah, you know, like a lot of people don't know this, on Rosh Hashanah, they blow shofars. 100 of them are blown on those 2 days each month, okay? And they blow a certain sound at 9 in the morning, a certain sound at noon, and then another sound at 3 in the afternoon, and then they have a man chosen for the evening, at trumpets, and it's a great big long shofar, and he blows it as loud as he can. It's called the awakening blast. It's resurrection. The Jewish people understand that there's going to be a resurrection one day. Where from? Out from among the dead. They believe that. And it's going to be on trumpets. And the church says, well, that can't be possible. Well, I've had people make fun of me about this. Well, Gene, you're wrong. Well, the Bible makes it quite clear if you look at it real close. And then there's some things that happen. We got all of it on the Day of Atonement. It's revealed in the Bible for the most part. And then Tabernacles has a lot of things. The water pouring and the things that we see. And even the last day, the 22nd day of Tishri, is called Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. There's things that's being revealed through all that the church needs to know and understand. And I'll tell you what, it'll draw you closer to the Lord than ever before. And I love Him so much, and He's shown me so much over the years. But you know, He continues to show us more if we're hungry. And that's the beauty about the Word of God. It's a living Word. It's a rhema Word. It's alive. We have a Logos Word in my hand here, the written Word. But there's rhema that comes off of the pages of this Logos Word that God wants us to know. So I get excited about this because God wants to show us some things. So if you buy my book I wrote, It's called God's Prophetic Calendar and the Pictures of the Messiah as Revealed Through God's Appointed Times. You'll see some things in this book, if you read this, that you may not have ever understood or knew. It'll blow your mind. It just draws you closer to the Lord. You know, like this thing, he could not have possibly died on Friday, but I'm not going to get into that. But things come alive, and you see what God's trying to show you and I, that we can walk stronger. And God told his disciples over in Matthew chapter 13, he said, you've been given the privilege to know the mysteries, the sods, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You and I that are born again have Yeshua in us, especially those that are baptized with the Holy Ghost. We have the privilege to understand the mysteries of God, but we have to dig in. And I tell people all the time, there's always a price to be paid to find these things out, and it's about you spending time with the Lord, studying his holy word, looking into these things and seeing. You'll say, wow, I never realized that, but now you do. Here's a quick one at Passover. It says they were to kill the lamb or the goat at Eve, okay, in our Bible. Well, if you look this up in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean in the evening. It means between the two evenings. At noon, it began to turn to the evening. And then at 3 o'clock, it went toward the evening. And so it's between the two evenings is what it means, showing that Yeshua in the future, 1,500 years from that date in Exodus 12, had to die at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, not at sunset, like a lot of people may think. And so we got to understand what the scriptures have to say. We need to know the calendar. The months are mentioned. Okay, sometimes God gives us the month, not that much. Most of the time he tells you the number. It'll be in the sixth month. What is the sixth month on the Jewish calendar? It's the month of Elul. We're getting ready to come into the month of Elul. He doesn't give you the name. He tells you the number. If we don't know that, well, then we're missing out. But we can look and see what season of the year is all this happening. It gives us a clue then what God's trying to tell us. And we see a lot of things that's going to happen in the seventh month on the God's prophetic calendar, the month of Tishri. This is when this is all going to come to a conclusion. 1 year at the end of Jacob's trouble, after those 7 years, those 2,520 days, there will be seven of those appointed times each year. It will be fulfilled. And then the last year, when it comes around to trumpets, there's going to be those last three appointed times will go boom, boom, boom. It'll be over in 21 days. That quick. So we have a foreshadow in this book. Jesus did not leave us in a place where we're in darkness, in no way, shape, or form. And so let's just look at, we're going to go a different way here, it looks like, Pastor Donna. I'm going to take you over to, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians with me, chapter 5. Oh, I like this. I love this. Let's just see what the Word of God has to say, and it might clarify some things. I hear this taught on the radio and TV different times, and it's been misinterpreted. People get confused because they don't follow through to see what Paul was talking about. I'm trying to get my pages to turn here on my Bible. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'm in chapter 5. Now look at this. The very first verse is so important. If we read this real carefully, what God wants us to know with this. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you right now as Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna read this to you? Chapter 1 says this. Paul says, but of the times and the seasons. Let's just stop right there. But of the times and the seasons introduces to us what? The reoccurring question that comes up all the time and the curiosity and all, how long before Christ comes and what point in history will it be there? Well, how could we know that? The times refers to the time of the year on the Jewish calendar, okay, on God's calendar, and the seasons represents God's appointed times, the Moedim. That's what it's all about. So Paul had already taught them. He said, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you about those things. He already told them all that. And then he said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes, what? As a thief in the night. Now I hear this all the time. Oh, you better be ready. You'll be called as a thief. Let me tell you, if you're walking with God, you're spirit-filled, you're tuned, hushakam darabat sambra, and you're tuned into the Word of God, you will never be caught as a thief in the night. You're going to know the time and the season. You'll have the spirit of Issachar upon you to know the times and the seasons, and you will not be fooled. You will not be caught unaware. So if we read the rest of this, Paul explains all this. But people on the radio and TV, they stop right here, that you might be caught, you'll be caught as a thief in the night. No, no, no. All right? And then verse 3 says, for when they shall say, peace and safety. What's this telling you about? Talking about Jacob's trouble. It's going to come in with peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them, and as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The travail is referring to Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Amen? All right. But the key thing in verse 3 says, for when they shall say, the they are those that are outside the church that don't know the Messiah, okay? All right? Now, as true, we already read that. Verse 4 then says, but you. Now he's going to talk to the believers, not those outside the church, but the believers. But you, brethren, are not what? In darkness. We're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. Did you hear that? We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, let us not sleep as do others. But let us what? Watch and be sober. That doesn't mean we're not going to be drunk. It means we're going to be self-controlled. Verse 7. For they who sleep, what? Sleep when? In the night. When I go to bed at night, you, Pastor Donnie, it's at nighttime, right? And then he says, and they who be drunken are drunken in the night. That's when they all are drinking and the partying going on is at night. And then we go to verse 8. But let us, these are the believers now, who are of the day, means we're going to be spiritual and know the light, we're in the light, be sober again, self-control and all that, and having the assurance of what we're understanding, putting on the breastplate of faith and what? And love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet goes on the skull because the decision to come to Christ has to come there, and that's where it has to be maintained. Now we go to verse 9. But God has not appointed us to wrath. There's your clue right there. We have not been appointed to God's wrath. And we got people teaching today that we're going to go through this terrible time on earth called Jacob's trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to what? Israel. This is a time for Israel. God's going to give them 7 more years of mercy and grace and kindness to draw them to the Messiah that came for them the first time, rejected him, but he's hoping and doing all he can to have them come to Messiah before he sets up his kingdom on this earth. For God has not appointed us to wrath. The wrath that's going to be in Jacob's trouble is not the wrath that we're seeing now. It's going to come from Almighty God, not from man. And then it goes on. But to obtain what? Salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. So we have all these wonderful words that Paul wrote and told us. And so we've taken the scriptures and we've misconstrued them. God has given us evidence and clues all through the first covenant about when Yeshua is going to come. He's even given a clue for the Jewish people. There's a book called Zephaniah. Zephaniah, if you've never read that book. If you look up his name in the Hebrew, it means God hides. There's a verse there in chapter 2 shows that if they're willing and obedient, they humble themselves before God, they shall be hidden in the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is what? Jacob's trouble. It's all revealed. God's got a purpose for all this, but we have to see between the lines and look at the things and understand that God was, when we read the first covenant, God's talking to the Jewish people. And so there's many things that we can learn as we look at this. And I get excited to even know more about it because, you know, when I first got saved, I was excited about the Lord. But when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I went a little bit higher. And then a few years later, I just knew that there was something missing in the church. And the thing that was missing was we were robbed of our Hebrew roots. And when I began to study that, then I went a little bit higher in my faith with the Lord. And today I'm up there. I'm trusting him. I know we're not going to be fooled. We got all this stuff coming down. But we'll know the time and the season when these things are going to happen. And so we have to know that's what Paul told the Thessalonians when he was there, that I have no need to teach you about the times and the seasons. We don't. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Genesis 1 even tells you that at the beginning about the times and the seasons and all that, and why the stars and the sun and the moon were put in place and all that. It's all there to show us the times and the seasons when these things are going to happen. And that's why God put them on a lunar calendar. Whenever that new moon comes, it tells them what month they're on. We're getting ready soon here. Now we're going to be going into Elul. There's going to be another new moon. We're coming to the 6th month on God's prophetic calendar, and there's going to be a period of 40 days called the time of Teshuvah that we talked about last week. It's a time to repent, to turn around and come back to God, the ones that one time knew the Lord, but do not now. They've walked away. A lot of people have never met the Lord, so they can't Teshuvah, but it's still a time for them to come. So it's going to last for 30 days. 30 days. There'll be a great inspection of themselves over in Israel. And then on trumpets, Tishri 1, they're down to the last 10 days, and it's going to be the last 10 days one day at the end of Jacob's trouble on the 7th year, the last year. And they'll have 10 days to get right with God the Father, Yod Heh Vav Heh. And trumpets will begin those last 10 days. And we've said this a lot on this program. They say to one another on that day, may you be written in the book of life. Well, see, it's not the book of life. It's got to be the Lamb's book of life. And then during the week, each day, they tell each other, may you be sealed until the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? It's the day of atonement. That's the day that Yeshua will come and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives and begin to start the kingdom of God. And then all this is going to fall into place. And tabernacles is a picture of the kingdom of God. And all this is going to be put in place. So God's got so much to show us. And all the ceremonies and the things that they do during these appointed times, especially in the fall, all show us something about the future and what God's going to do. I want to know those things. And so, you know, it tells us in the book of Ezekiel, when we get there, God's going to honor all these things forever. And I want to get to heaven. I don't want to be saying, well, I never knew that. We ought to say, yeah, Lord, I've studied that. I know what this is all about, what you're going to do. We don't want to be fooled. We want to know everything that God has for us. And the only way we're going to do that is to truly study this word in the language that it was written, especially the first covenant. And that's the book of that's the Hebrew. I started to say the book, but it's the book. The first covenant is what? Written in Hebrew. The Torah is so important. And a lot of the church just throws the Torah out. No, it's important to teach and give us teaching and instruction how to walk a holy life with God. I guess you can see I'm getting excited here about this. We need to dig in and find out what God has to say. There's these sows that God wants us to know. So if you want to find out more, I'm offering this book that I wrote several years ago called The Pictures of the Messiah, you know, and about the prophetic calendar. And we have a chapter on every one of the appointed times, including Hanukkah and Purim. We have all this, and you can get that book for $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling, and I'll be glad to get it out to you. You'll be blown away. It's not about Pastor Gene or Pastor Donna. There's charts in there that we made. It's not about us. It's about what the Holy Book has to say. And when I wrote the book, God told me, don't you write anything in here that you don't have at least two witnesses for in the Bible, not just one verse taken out of context. And so that's what I did with all that. And so I had to study that right way. There's seven things you got to look at when you study. You know, you got to know the customs and the mannerisms, the history. All right, you got to know the grammar with the Hebrew and the Greek, and all of it under the guise of what? The Holy Ghost, to get the truth.
And right? I would also add the Hebrew.
And the Hebrew, right? I said that the Hebrew and the Greek. We need them. We need to know them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we know God. When we go from one language to the other, sometimes we lose some things. And so we have to look at it and see what God's trying to show us. Mm-hmm. All right, Pastor.
God tells us where to separate the holy from the profane.
That's right.
And so that's actually what Jesus was doing in the temple.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's mentioned not just one place in the gospel, but three places in the gospel. It's also talked about in the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, mm-hmm. about God's house being a house of God, a house of prayer.
And not merchandising.
Yeah. But they had turned it into merchandising.
That's right.
So I'm going to look up over here. I'm not going to have time to go to look at Jeremiah, but also in the book of Isaiah, it talks about that as well.
And they also made it a den of thieves.
And then three times in the gospel that I know of. And so here I'm going to read what it says over here in Luke, because, you know, each one has a little bit more.
That's right.
Bit, you know, tells a little bit more here.
Or tells it a little different way.
Uh-huh. And I'm trying to think about where it's at here. Somewhere I saw it. And he went into, this is Luke chapter 19.
Okay.
Verse 45. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein. So that means they had to have some kind of money, right?
Yeah, money changing.
And them that bought. So people were exchanging things for money, saying unto them, it is written. Now he has a little bit different here. He says, my house is the house of prayer.
That's it.
But ye have made it a den of thieves.
Of thieves.
Now, one place it says a nation. Let me see. I think that's over in Mark. I have to look at Mark.
You were just in Luke 19, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm over here. My house is a house of prayer, mm-hmm. but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. See, over there in Matthew, it almost looks like they were chased him out right away, but you can go ahead and read chapter 20. He's still teaching in the temple. And they could not find what they might do. They didn't know what to do with him, for all the people were very attentive to hear him.
Yes.
Now, if we go over here and look too, he also talks about money over here in chapter 20, okay. In verse 24. He says, show me a penny whose image and superscription hath it. Mm-hmm. And they answered and said, Caesar. Mm-hmm. So what were they doing? They had turned the temple, the holy thing, place of God, into money, a place of buying and selling.
That's right.
In the courts, though, in the courts of the temple. Now over in Mark, it says it's a little bit different here. It says, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers.
Money changers.
They were making change of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessels through the temple.
Okay.
Amen?
That's right.
And that's now he says this, now this he talks about the nations. And he taught saying, unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer.
Hallelujah.
Of all nations. But ye have made it a den of thieves.
That's right. And you think, I mean, we have a hard, fast rule in our congregation. We have for years since we started. We allow no merchandising in the church. You know, some people are involved with multi-level companies and all that, and they want to come in here and grab the people in the church and all that. And some people sign up or whatever, and they start selling stuff. We don't allow any merchandising in the church. You go out in the parking lot. Get out of the house of God if you're going
to
do that.
You don't go to church to try to get people to sign up to your,
that's right, whatever you're doing.
Your multi-level business.
Right.
Or anything else like that. And we've seen that happen in big churches. You know, people talk, somebody give them out a brochure, you know, call me. They're looking for contacts.
That's it.
That house, God's house is not a place to go and look for contacts or to buy and sell. God's house is a house of prayer and a house of worship.
That's it.
And so, but see what happens? People are greedy for gain. There's another scripture talks about being greedy for gain. Well, God says that we should seek holiness. And that's where, in Timothy, I believe.
That's right.
In Timothy, we're running out of time.
But you think about this also, Pat, I think it was in the book of Nehemiah. He got on all the people that were coming there on the Sabbath and all merchandising in the temple, and he threw them all out.
Well, that's what this was. That's when this
that's
was.
Right.
You know,
that's
it was
right.
on the Sabbath because they were exchanging things, and we know that, you know, that on that, according to this man's teaching and of these rabbis, that they had taken taken the menorah off of that piece of that
and
coin.
And put Baal on it.
And put, right, put.
Symbol of Baal.
A symbol of Baal. And here, this one we read, a symbol of whose face is on it? They said Caesar's face.
Mm-hmm.
What did Caesar worship?
Yeah, all kinds of gods.
That's right. He did not worship the one true God. That's right.
Yeah.
So we need to, we really need to seek what God is wanting us to do and do the right thing.
When we come to church, the ecclesia comes together, it's a really a holy thing. We should honor what God wants done. And we all have our own opinions about whether to go to on Sunday or Saturday. We're not going to be
Sabbath is
dogmatic
on.
About that, but the Sabbath has always been Saturday, the seventh day of the week. It'll never change. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday happens to be the first day of the next week. And so whichever day you want to go, that's fine. As we've talked about here, we honor both days. We have a Sabbath service, a Shabbat service on Friday night at sunset. And then we also honor Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Yeshua rose out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that in some of the Jewish writings as well of the early apostles when they came to Christ, a book called the Didache. Tells us that. And so we honor everything that God has. And Donna mentioned this before, you know, when God gave the Torah over in Exodus chapter 19, and all started from that point on, if you look at it, when he gave the Ten Commandments, it tells you right in the middle of the fifth one, it says, remember the Sabbath. So it was not established at that time. It was established in Genesis chapter 1. They knew what the seventh day was all about. It's a day of rest. God gave us a day of rest and spend that time with him to worship him, magnify, to spend time
Lord.
With him and let him know how important he is to us. We just don't go to church to pacify our conscience. We go there. It's not a service, that people can keep this in mind. It's a meeting to meet with God, that you'll be touched, stirred, activated, imparted, and moved to a new dimension with him every time you come together. If you're sincere with him, there's a price to be paid. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen. I'm going to read this over here, and you guys might want to read Jeremiah chapter 7.
Okay.
It says, I'm just going to read part of it. It says, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal?
Yeah.
Baal worship.
Mm-hmm.
And walk after other gods, whom ye know not. This is another god on that coin. And come and stand before me in this house, we're talking about God's temple, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all. We are delivered to do all these abominations. This is what they said. And then he says, and it goes on, Jeremiah says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord.
It's incredible. So So here we have the same thing, what moved over hundreds of years later in the New Testament as well. The same things were going on. The same spirit behind it all. We have a lot of the same spirits today that's going on that happened hundreds of years ago. We talk about the ites in the first covenant. All those spirits do not die. I'll say it again, spirits do not die. They were released out into the world. They look for someone else they can manipulate and operate through. So those ites are still around. So we have to be in tune to those things, to have discernment that we will not be fooled by anything that comes down the pipe to try to convince us otherwise. And so we stay with Yeshua, His holy word, this book we have. This is the truth. This is the only truth in the entire world. This is not relative. It's the truth. There's nothing else but the truth, no matter what man may think. And so this is what we have to stay on this word. And as we do, we're going to be blessed. And everything we do, God will be right there to walk with us, and we'll be in that place with Him. Donna's reading on Friday night in Deuteronomy now, right, Pastor Donna? The first chapter shows over there that if they would obey God in everything, when they came out of Egypt, they would have been in the promised land in 11 days. But they didn't do that after all the miracles and all that they saw. And so we have the same thing.
Deuteronomy, it doesn't mean the second law.
That's right.
It doesn't mean just reiterating what was said in the first four.
It means word, doesn't it?
It means God's words. God's words. Moses was again speaking God's words to these people because there were a new group, you know, that were going to getting ready to cross the Jordan
River.
And they were going to cross the Jordan, and they weren't going to have the cloud by day. They weren't going to have the fire by night. They were not going to have manna. They were going to go into a land that already had houses and buildings and fruit and all kinds of things. And they had to keep their eyes on God, and they had to walk in faith. Things have not changed. We still have to walk in faith.
And they whipped all the giant because He said He was with them if they would obey. We're about ready to run out of time here. We were going to do a little something else here today, but see, we're led by the Holy Ghost, aren't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And you know, we come on the program, and many times I don't really have anything planned. And so...
Amen.
We just
let me give the phone number, Pastor
Gene. Honey.
Someone may want to call. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can call us and give us a prayer request, or just call and say hi. Amen. So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Today at 4 o'clock, we'll be showing an awesome video, and also
and
having a dinner and closing out the Sabbath. And then tomorrow, on the first day of the week, we will come together to worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Sure is. So Lord, we honor You here
Pastor
today.
Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton.
Right.
That's who we are.
That's right. We just lift up everybody listening to the program today, Lord. We ask that they be touched by their spirit, Lord, from You. Not by us, but by what we spoke.
Glory.
With the spirit behind it, that they will never be the same. So as we close this program every week, we tell everyone on this program to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh every day that goes by. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.